Second Chronicles chapter 26. You have it, say amen. All right. Starting in verse 1, that all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Go down with me to verse 4. And he, talking about Uzziah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Sounds good, doesn't it, so far? And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Go down to verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gurbaal and the Mahunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. And his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Go down to verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaziah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. Verse 14. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines. Think about this now. He made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. The story's about ready to change. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now flip over with me to verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. And we'll finish with this. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. We'll stop there with the reading. I want to preach tonight on this subject, on the outside looking in. On the outside looking in. I'm not sure how many years it was before Uzziah died after he was struck with leprosy. But the fact is, it really doesn't matter. The fact is, he died. Ultimately, he died. We know from the text that I read to you, you can go home and read the rest of the account in 2 Chronicles 26. He had great success. He started his life and his kingship very well. He sought the Lord all the days of his life, as far as at the beginning of his life. But ultimately, at the end of his life, he was cut off, and he was a leper, and he died in that state. And I preach this sermon tonight as humbly as I can, and as seriously as I can. You all know I like to joke, and I like to have fun with all of you. I do. I like to have fun when the time is proper. But tonight I'm preaching a very serious message, because I hope you understand that none of us are exempt from becoming and being on the outside looking in. None of us. Because when you think you stand, beware lest you fall. And so we have to look at this tonight. We have to look at this text, and I will briefly give you 3 points tonight. And I will not keep you long, I promise you. But I hope that by the end of the message, you'll understand that somewhere along the line, right there around verse 16, Uzziah forgot some things that happened in his life that made him to become on the outside looking in. And it's the same things that if we forget, we'll find ourselves in the same place as Uzziah did. Because you have to understand, we need to stop playing church. We need to stop acting like we are a Christian. But we need to be a Christian and walk as in the statutes of God and live for God as holy as we possibly can. Because as you well know, Jesus Christ is coming back. And He's coming back for a church that's on the inside, not on the outside looking in. But obviously Uzziah forgot some things, and three things tonight very quickly, and I promise I won't keep you long because I can tell already you all are going to enjoy this message a lot. Number one, Uzziah forgot his beginning. He forgot his beginning. He forgot where he came from. I'll read to you verse 1 again. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king. All the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king. But Uzziah forgot his beginning because he forgot the people that took him to where he was going. There was people in his life that God had placed in his life to get him to where he was at. 16 years old, here he was the king over Israel, but it says all the people of Judah took Uzziah. And you have to understand, our pastor says this a lot, and I love the phrase, if a turtle gets on top of a pole, rest assured someone had to put him there. I realize every blessing comes from God and promotion comes from God, but sometimes God allows people in our lives to get us to where we are going in our journey of life. And may you understand where you're at tonight, the blessings of life, the success in your life, you had nothing to do with it. God placed people in your life to guide you, to direct you, to love you, to teach you, and may we never forget where we came from. So you're here tonight, you're saved, but some of you, I don't know you in your past. All I know is that you've been saved and set free by the blood of Christ, but you've told me about your past, and you can look at the beginning of your life and where you were at and where you're at now, and you can say, thank God, the Lord sent somebody my way to tell me about Jesus, to teach me about the gospel, to tell me about someone that would love me despite what I had done, that I can be saved and set free and go to heaven. You need not forget those people that God has placed in your life, because He placed them there on a purpose. I was raised in church like many of you were, and all I ever known was church from the very beginning of life. Even in my mother's womb, I was on the stage at the Willsburg campgrounds as the Brown Trio was singing. So all my life I've had influence, and people have influenced my life, and I could have a list a mile long tonight of people that God has placed in my life to get me to where I am now. My Sunday school teachers, people like Mary Alice Smith and Bernice Queen, who used to attend this church before she passed away. But people in my life that God has placed there, that many of you may not know their names, but I know their names. I know what they did for me. Preachers that God has placed in my life. And I will never ever forget that God placed them in my life. And you need not forget as well. There are people that God has placed in your life to get you to where you're at now. And you need to thank God for them. Hallelujah. I guarantee I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for people that pray for me on a daily basis. I can't tell you through this Christmas season how many folks that came up to me and said, Brian, I want you to know. And they said, I want you to look at me. I pray for you every day. And you know what? That means more than anything anyone could ever give. Knowing that there are people that sit under your preaching and help you and pray for you. And people ask us all the time, how do you and Cal do it? How do you and Cal travel? How do you and Cal go like you do? I'll tell you how. It's because people like you that pray for us every day, that says strengthen our pastors, give them strength, give them good health. And listen, you know what? God does that because He places you in our lives. The people that took Him. Notice also the preacher that taught Him. Because it said in verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. He had a preacher man, someone that he could sit under, that could teach him and that could learn him some things about the leadership position that he was in. And listen, everyone under the sound of my voice needs someone in your life that you can learn after, that can be a mentor to you, and that can teach you about the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but we've got the best mentor in this entire world. We got the best pastor in this entire world. He don't like it, but I'm up here so I can say it right now. But we ought to be blessed and privileged knowing that we've got a pastor that'll stand for the truth, preach us the Word of God, and that'll teach us in the ways of God. We need to thank God for that and never forget it. Hallelujah. You say, Brian, you need not say that. Yeah, I do need to say that. You know why? Because you just go with us a few days. You go out and travel. You try to go and visit some other churches. And I guarantee you'll find out there's a bunch of people that aren't shepherds. They're just hirelings. They're in it for the money. They're in it just to get by. They don't go and visit a hospital. They don't call on nobody. They don't send a card. All they do is go golfing or whatever. And not that golfing's wrong or fishing's wrong, but they don't do. They put that ahead of their people and ahead of God. Listen, I tell you what, they're going to pay for it one of those days, but I'm glad we got a shepherd. I'm glad we got people that'll teach us, and thank God, I thank the Lord for him tonight. Don't forget your beginning, a preacher that taught him, the people that took him. But notice also that at the beginning of his life and his kingship, the power that transformed him. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Do you understand tonight that we are nothing without the power of God? We are nothing without the power of God. There'll be hundreds of people that'll listen to a nice flowery, not even a sermon, I don't even want to call it a sermon. It's just a nice story. Some 6-foot icicle will get up behind a pulpit and just tell them a good story today. But aren't you glad for a man of God that'll preach us the truth? Aren't you glad that we go to a church, then when preachers get up here, they preach about the truth. They give us something to chew on. And listen, you know why? Because the power of God is on them. And aren't you glad tonight, preachers? May we never forget, if you're going to preach the Word, singers, if you're going to sing the song, Sunday school teachers, if you're going to teach a lesson, you've got to have the power of God. You've got to have the power of God. It'll transform you. And listen, if you go into some of the churches we go into, they don't get no way. You don't get amens. You don't get hallelujahs. And thank God, you better have the power of God with you. Because that's the only thing that's going to get you by. Knowing that, thank God, the Holy Ghost is with you and has His thumbprint in your back. There's nothing better. I've been in dead churches. I've been in churches where there's only been 5 people and we've had a great time in the Lord. But I've been in places where there's been hundreds and it's been deader than a hammer. I preached at a college one time and it was deader than a hammer. It was a Bible college. And I thought, man, they're training these people to be spiritual leaders and they're deader than 4 o'clock. But you know what? I got to preaching. The power of God came. I did a whoop like this before you know. They were all looking at me like I was weird, but I didn't care. I felt the presence of God, and I knew that I needed His power. Aren't you glad and thankful for the power that'll transform your life? Well, I got to move on. He forgot his beginning. Secondly, he forgot his blessing. He forgot his blessing. I read to you in verses 6 through 15, I hit some high spots. But I read to you some things about his life that he was able to accomplish because the Lord prospered him. And it was all because of the Lord. It wasn't anything he had done. But God had given him the wisdom and the power to do what he did. Now listen, Uzziah was not Solomon. But I ask you to look in your Bible and find me someone other than Uzziah that was able to accomplish what he accomplished in a short amount of time. He was prosperous because he knew where it came from at the beginning. And listen, if we're going to prosper, it's going to come from the hand of God. Also, you'll notice when he went up against his enemies, the natural enemy of the Philistines, he was able to prevail against the enemy because the Lord was with him and strengthened him and gave him cunning knowledge and wisdom in battle. And listen, if you're going to be able to make it over the enemy this coming year, you're going to have to realize you need the blessings of God in order to do it. You need the Holy Spirit. You need him. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he used the old term and said, if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. And listen, there will be a lot of times in 2016, some of you have already experienced it this year, but in the forthcoming year, should God tarry his coming, God will bring you to a lot of its. But I guarantee it, if he brings you to it, he will bring you through it. And thank God it will come by the blessings of the Almighty God. He prevailed against his enemy. He was prosperous. Also, you notice he was popular. The Bible says that his name spread abroad. In verse 15, it also says that his name spread far abroad. You know why? Because the Lord was with him. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit is the best form of advertisement? Anytime the Lord is with you, you don't have to go around wearing t-shirts and blinking signs. No, thank God that those things are wrong. But listen, all you got to do is have the presence of God on you, and people will notice there's a difference in you. They sure will. They sure will. He was popular. He was prosperous. He prevailed over the enemy. But you'll notice as well that he had great potential. Great potential. He was wise. God, in verse 5, says that he gave him visions and enlightenment. He was able, this just blew my mind. In verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines. Engines. He made engines to be able to throw arrows and great stones. I bet when the enemy saw this, they were thinking, what in the world is that? They didn't know what hit him because God had given him wisdom and great potential to be a great leader and a great warrior for the name of God. But he forgot his blessings. He forgot his beginning. And this is what we'll hang our hat just for the next few moments. He forgot his boundaries. He forgot his boundaries. I'll say this again. No one in here, you hear me? No one is exempt from slipping away and backsliding on God when you begin to forget your boundaries. Many of you watch basketball, football, soccer. I don't hardly know of a sport that is out there that doesn't have boundaries. And if there wasn't rules, if there wasn't lines on a court or lines on a field, it would be total chaos. Because those players know if I go out of this boundary, I'm in trouble. So if we can understand that in the secular form, why can't we understand that God has placed boundaries in every one of our lives? Now listen to me. Pray for me, preachers. Listen to me. There are some things that you do not have to pray about if they're right or wrong. To him that knoweth good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you claim to be a child of God and you claim that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside, if you begin to sin, God will tell you it's wrong. And guess what? That's your boundary. That's your boundary. But listen, and I'll hit this again at the end of 2015. If you reach out and grab that lottery ticket, you're going out of bounds. I'm getting some help over here. What about over here? Am I good? Young people, you okay with that? Shake your head. You know it's right. If your hand reaches out and grabs that alcoholic beverage out of the cooler at the convenient mart, you're going out of bounds. Hey, there's no explaining that one. That's wrong. It's more than wrong. It's sin. I would hate for you to be chugging a beer and scratching off a lottery ticket when Jesus Christ comes back. How are you going to explain that to him? It's out of bounds. Oh, take a real close look right here at my eyeballs. Wandering eyes are out of bounds. Wandering fingers. Wandering thumbs. Out of bounds. And any time you forget those boundaries, you're in danger of slipping away. And you'll find that when you do it once, man, the Holy Spirit, boom, He'll hit you hard and knock you off your feet. But if you override that and you keep stepping out of bounds, pretty soon you're not even in the game anymore. This is good preaching. I'm talking about we have forgot our boundaries. And even beyond sin, there are things that God has placed individually. I call them personal convictions that God has placed in every one of our lives. And listen, it may be wrong for you, but it may not be wrong for me. But if it's wrong for you and you step out of bounds, my friend, it's sin and it's wrong. Oh, this is good. But see, what the problem is, the boundaries have been faded over the years, especially in my generation and younger. They don't think that Christianity ought to have boundaries. No, they think they can live any way they want to live and then go to church once a week and then hit the bar after they go to church or before they come to church. I was talking to a young man the other day, went to a wedding. And he said he was there, and it was at a large lodge, and him and his wife were Christians. And it was a beautiful wedding. They said they went ahead and spent the night there, and they were playing pool or whatever. I think it was in the game room or something. And the minister that performed the wedding ceremony came downstairs, opened the refrigerator, got out a Coors Light, popped the tab, and said, "Thank you, Jesus." That's exactly right, brother. That's sin and it's wrong, and they have forgot the boundaries. You say, "Oh, Brian, that's awful, a minister." We got people right in here that can believe the same thing. And we got churches all around this county that believe the same thing. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't know why I'm hitting this hard, but there's some of you need to hear it tonight. It's wrong and it's sin. It's sin. It's sin. It's sin. I've seen what it does to families. I've seen what it can do to lives of people. Listen tonight. Listen, our pastor told of us of a man this morning that would like nothing more than to serve God with his whole heart, but the addictions have got him bound. And I know the blood of Christ can deliver us, but I'm telling you, one of these days, years ago, he stepped out of bounds and got into that predicament. And you say and sit in your seat tonight and say, "I'll never get there." Don't ever say never. He forgot his boundaries because his heart was lifted up with pride in verse 16. He transgressed because of pride. And I'll move on. I got to hurry. He transgressed because of pride. But then you'll notice, secondly, he trespassed against the Lord. Verse 18. See, after he was confronted, he was strong. The Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against his Lord. It all came because of pride. Pride swelled up in his heart, and he forgot about where he came from. He forgot about his blessings of the Lord, and he got out of bounds, and he said, "You know what? I did a pretty good job in doing this." And when pride swelled up in his heart, then sin came on board, and he went into the temple to try to do the instruments of God. And listen, he got in there, and the priest came to him and they called him out on it. And guess what happened? He didn't repent. He got angry. He transgressed, he trespassed, and he had a temper. That's what pride will get you. He transgressed, he trespassed, and he had a temper. And that temper turned into sin because he was very wroth and went ahead and tried to do it against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And what happened next was something that you have to read for yourself. And when he did those things and sinned against God, God struck him with leprosy. And he was marked for the rest of his life because he got out of bounds. Because listen, folks, there is a line in the sand. And when you go too far, there is no coming back. We don't hear this preached a lot anymore. You hear it from this pulpit, but you don't hear it preached. You know, I know God's grace is sufficient. But God's grace is not dice that we roll on a game table. God's grace does not give us a license to do what we want to do. I know God's grace is sufficient. But listen, you can't do anything you want to do and come in on Sunday and expect to be right with God. That don't happen that way. So one of these days you're going to go too far out of bounds and you won't be able to get back in. You say, Brian, that's serious. You mean that really can really happen? Yes, it can really happen. You can get so far out of bounds that God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. But I got good news for you. You're here tonight. And maybe you're teetering with this Christianity thing. Maybe you're saying, should I go or should I not go? Should I serve the Lord or should I not serve the Lord? Listen, I got good news for you. God's grace is sufficient. God is loving. He is a merciful and compassionate Savior. And I got good news for you. You're in bounds tonight. You're in bounds in this place. And God's presence is here. He wants to save you. He wants to set your life free. He wants to set you free from the bonds of slavery, of sin that you're in. And thank God you can end this year on the right path and start a new year with Jesus. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing you could ever do? It could be. Wednesday night we saw three people give their heart to Jesus Christ. The greatest Christmas gift they could ever get was forgiveness. And they received that Wednesday night. And listen, you can do that this evening by saying, Lord, here I am. I haven't forgotten what you've done for me. I know you're the Savior of the world. I know you can save me from my sin. And when you call on His name, guess what He'll do? He'll save you and set you free. Have you forgotten where you came from? Have you forgotten your beginning? Have you forgot God's blessings? Have you forgot your boundaries? God's arm is not too short that He cannot reach you and get you where you're at and bring you up and forgive you and set your feet on a solid rock. But you got to be willing to turn it over to Him. Say, Lord, here I am. Forgive me. I wonder how 2 Chronicles 26 would have turned out if Uzziah would have just said, you know what? You're right. I wonder if he would have acted like David would have acted in Psalm 51 when he grabbed the horns of the altar and say, create in me a clean heart, O God. I wonder if Uzziah would have done that. Wonder how different it would have been. Don't leave your life to what ifs. Leave your life to a certain hope tonight that can only come in Jesus.